You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio. Two situations.
Welcome to the Gym Class for a Wednesday, a midweek edition here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Ben on the other side of the glass, and our great listeners out there, we thank you for tuning in today. We are presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at DePaco.com and learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to that website at DePaco.com. We've got a great show for you. Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, will join us to talk college wrestling, Hawkeye wrestling, with coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Chris Liss will join us to answer your fantasy football questions as well at 319-366-1600. His appearance is brought to you by Imon Communications. We will talk with Chris coming up on the program today in the back half of the hour, and a Bowling Night in America preview for you. That and a whole lot more as we come your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Mark joins me here in studio. Good day.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And plenty more, a lot of good nuggets on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard as well.
Yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about today, and we will dig into that with Mark Ironside coming up here in just a couple of moments. The big news of the day today, as far as Hawkeyes and Iowa football is concerned, as the transfer portal turns, Mark. I think that's been used many times, us, Spencer, others. Iowa got their other half of the Michigan connection officially today. I guess as official as it gets. When you get it on Twitter, that's official, I think. But Eric Aul, the tight end from Michigan, announced today that he is going to follow his former quarterback, Cade McNamara, and he is going to be in Iowa City as well.
You lose and you receive. Iowa lost another to the transfer portal, Dallas Cradith, defensive back who mainly made his mark on special teams. He's a graduate transfer announced yesterday. But missed all but three games this past year. But he had a terrific 2021. Look up his highlights, including highlights in the Big Ten Championship game against Iowa. He's a big, rangy, speedy tight end who should complement Luke Lachey very well. He's been the roommate of Cade McNamara at Michigan, so it would seem to be, you know, McNamara may or may not had something to do with that transfer.
Might have been one of the better recruiters that the Iowa Hawkeyes employed right there, or soon to be employed, if you will. But, hey, the tight end room looking pretty good for next year. You take a look at Lachey coming back, the freshman out of Wisconsin that got some playing time toward the end of the year. You put all in there as well. And, yeah, the wide receivers need some help. I think that area, I think we can all agree on that. But the tight ends, that seems to be a positive for the Hawkeyes again.
Definitely so. And I'm sure both the Michigan transfers will play right away or contribute right away, especially McNamara, of course. That's a Captain Obvious comment. But all is a good one. And now he's all in on Iowa.
I knew you were going to do that. I was waiting. You may not be the first one to do that, Mark. So, if you know, yeah, whatever. We'll leave that alone. But good pickup for the Hawkeyes nonetheless here today. And we'll get to some more transfer news coming up on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard here in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up in just a few minutes. We'll take a look back at the World Cup down at Coralville in Extreme Arena. We'll also talk about Iowa's duel against Chattanooga. We'll kick that around a little bit, and then getting ready for a tournament. It will not be the Midlands this year for the Hawkeyes. They will stay at home And we'll discuss that coming up on the program today. And as I mentioned, get your fantasy football questions ready to go at 319-366-1600. I have not looked at this, Mark, but maybe you have. 8636 asking how many years does All have. He has 2 years. Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
2 years. Same as McNamara. So there you go. Lachey has 1 or 2 years remaining. It gets confusing because you get the COVID year out there, and you know, yeah, you could be a junior, but you really could be a sophomore if you wanted to be. Until this group that was involved in school during the COVID years, until they depart, it's a kind of a gray area. Agree?
It's hard to track, that's for sure, at a minimum.
It is. 319-366-1600, 0835, asking the portal question. I know there has been rumors of wide receiver transfers. Has there been any more with that? Nothing concrete as of yet. There are still transfers out there, rumors, I should say. As far as the wide receiver transfers are concerned. Big news coming. I've seen that from many different, quote-unquote, people in the know out there as far as Hawkeye football is concerned. But nothing concrete as of yet. And, yes, 86.99. And I'm not sure if Mark was going to get to this on the scoreboard, but we can discuss it now. Joe Gordon leaving Iowa State for South Florida. And, yes, he is going to be a new coach over there for the Bulls in their new coaching staff. So another shakeup as far as Matt Campbell is concerned. We talked to Rob Gray yesterday. Now, obviously, this news did not occur as of that moment, but we talked about Nate Shielhaus taking over the offensive coordinatorship in Ames and for Iowa State. So if you missed that, you can go back and listen to it on our podcast. It's available at kgymradio.com. Just go to our website and click on the podcast area and pick whichever program you would like to listen to. You can also go to Apple or Spotify. Had a lot of good things to talk about with Rob yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Joe Gordon, young coach, and good for him. If you can make a move up like that, and, you know, increase your coaching resume, then that's great. There you go. Questions already coming in, by the way, for Chris. Keep them coming at 319-366-1600. Hey, and we will get to bowling news coming up, 24-36. We will get to that here in just a little bit. Let's do things a little differently today, Mark. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's, before we talk to Mark Ironside, let's go ahead and give an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Should we do that?
We can do that.
All right. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot behind Taco John's. They are also the sponsor of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, which will be coming up on Friday. We give one of our listeners a chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway, and we'll have that next opportunity for you with some dazzling bowl games. Dazzling bowl games coming up on Friday. I can't wait, Mark.
Yeah, they're dandies, that's for sure, but we're going to pick them nonetheless. On the scoreboard today, you remember Fardaw's iMac, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I'm uncertain on that pronunciation, but trust me, that's what it's going to be for right now. He was coveted by Iowa, transferring from Utah Valley. He decided on Texas Tech, and now has decided he's going to enter the transfer portal. His next school will be his fourth. He started in Mercer, went to Utah Valley. Texas Tech this year has had a broken foot, has not seen any action. But young Mr. iMac is in the transfer portal. 6'11".
Will not have to sit out, I'm sure.
6'11", 245. Keep your eye on that one. Carlos Correa is headed for the San Francisco Giants and joining Aaron Judge. Correa agreeing to a 13-year, $350 million contract with the Giants. Correa, who is 28, do the math, that takes him to age 41. Not quite a Bobby Bonilla contract. The Twins were in line to re-sign him, offered 10 years at 285. And you do the math, the per year was better with the Twins. And I'm okay. I wouldn't want to give Gray any more than 10 years.
I like
13 is a lot.
It is a lot. By the way, you just gave the Yankee fans a little bit of a heart attack there. Aaron Judge signed with the Yankees.
I know. I was repeating the rumors that were out there.
I know what you were doing, but
remember that night? He was headed for the Giants?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad for that.
Department of Corrections, yeah.
Yeah, that's sad for that report. And that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com about the Carlos Correa signing. You take a look at 13 years, and I mean, are the Mets still paying for Bobby Bonilla at this point? They might still be.
They are.
It's anything over 5 years, that's a big gamble. 13 years is a huge gamble. I mean, Correa's a good player. Is he a great player, Mark? I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a good player.
I wanted him back for the Twins, no question about it.
Was he a great player, though?
One of the best shortstops in the league, clutch hitter. Not a great player, I wouldn't say, but a very, very good player. You don't know what's going to happen in 10 to 13 years, whether it's injuries, a guy declines. You know, it makes sense to me for a guy, if I'm Correa or anybody else, sign for 5 years. It's going to be, the market's going to be, the money's going to be greater in 5 years than it is now. Am I wrong? If you continue to produce.
True.
I mean, this is 13 years, $350 million. That's a guarantee of about $27 million a year. That's pretty good security blanket.
Not bad.
For anybody.
Not bad.
But wish him well.
I thought the Twins were going to get him back. I really did.
Made a push. The Mets made a push at the very end.
The Mets have any money left? They're looking in sofa cushions right
All
now.
All it is you absorb a bigger luxury tax. There's
True.
There's no
money involved. You got to find the money to pay them. But
yeah,
luxury tax kicks in certainly for the Mets coming up. We're going to get to a break. Mark Ironside going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim also congratulating Coach Gordon going from minus 10 to 85 degrees in a month or so. Yeah, that's a plus. Weather-wise, yeah, Coach Gordon did well with that. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll talk college wrestling and more with Mark right after this on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we may see some peaks of sunshine. Otherwise, we'll have some clouds continuing to pass on through. Temperatures will rise into the mid to upper 40s before a cold front comes in and knocks us back. We'll end up in the 20s tonight. And then tomorrow, we will be in the low 30s. We will have the chance for some periodic snow showers or maybe some around in the morning, but especially in the afternoon and evening, leading to slick conditions for tomorrow evening's commute. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back, the sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Back with you in the Gym Class here in KGYM. Mark Ironside will join us coming up in just a moment or two. Chris Liss and fantasy football talk. That'll be coming up as well. And you can get your question in for Chris early, 319-366-1600. Got a couple of them lined up already here. Mark, should mention as well, second day in a row, a very sad passing. This time much closer to everyone here in Eastern Iowa and in the Midwest, as we lost a great one. Former University of Iowa President Sandy Boyd passing away.
He is 95 and served in the presidency's capacity from 69 to 1981, and his impact on sports was terrific. He hired Bump Elliott,
yep,
who in turn hired guys like Dan Gable and Hayden Fry and on and on, Lute Olson. He hired Christine Grant. She brought along Vivian Stringer, among others. But he was very impactful in the building of Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yes, he was.
And actually, in 1972, he was the guy who signed off on Iowa Stadium being renamed Kinnick Stadium. And my predecessor, Gus Schrader, was very involved in that, pushed for it since his days at the Daily Iowan, and finally convinced. I think Boyd and others wanted Duke Slater's name on the stadium as well.
Yeah, and eventually it has.
It has, on the field
on
anyway.
On the field, yes.
Yeah. But in the end, it was named Kinnick Stadium, and that debuted in 1972. And again, he had a big impact on Iowa sports.
President Emeritus at the University of Iowa, and definitely is going to be missed. Mark Ironside joining us here in studio. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And Kurt, just a great guy, big-time wrestling fan, and he enjoyed the World Cup, didn't
he? Yeah,
he
did enjoy the World Cup. It was amongst a lot of people. There was a lot to be observed there. It was just interesting from the wrestling itself to
but then kind of, everything else too.
Yeah, some of the kind of the politics behind the scenes to the different countries and how they competed and how appreciative they were when they came off the mat. And I tell you what, our fans that were able to make it wasn't completely packed house, but it was good for the evening sessions. It was really, really good, and they were loud. But the fans that were there really, really did an amazing job at making these athletes from around the world, both U.S. and all the other countries that competed, feel right at home and welcomed, mm-hmm. and that they were wrestling in a venue that people knew wrestling and appreciated wrestling. It was just a great event all around, and I sure hope that we're able to do it again next year.
You know, the attendance was a subject on Saturday, and we know why. It's bad timing, a lot of high school and college events going on. Sunday, I guess, was a lot better. And I also think about the education of the average fan. They don't see freestyle a great deal. They're used to folk style when they're watching an Iowa wrestling meet. And but, boy, they could get an education if they went to the World Cup.
They for sure did, and it was a great experience for a lot of, you know, average wrestling fans, or even, therefore, some very knowledge wrestling fans that are huge eye wrestling fans and follow international wrestling, you know, through the internet and watch the matches on the internet, but be able to see it in person. I think KJ Pilcher actually had an article in the Gazette yesterday and said, you know, I watch a lot of this stuff online and follow it, but it's so much different watching it in person. And it really, really is. And that goes for any sporting event, really. But just to see these guys in person and watch them and from, you know, you're used to watching like Division I wrestling, which is really good, phenomenal wrestling. But watching these guys at the world level compete is like another big step up. It's like this is the best of the best in the entire world. We're used to watching the best of the best in Division I college wrestling, which is great, you know, but this is just a whole nother step up. Just, I mean, how quick, explosive, and scramble situations, and the defense, and I say defense, I don't mean stalling, but the defense of coming out of a shot or thinking that you're this guy was completely taken down, and then he scrambles out and turns it into his own offense. The transitions that these guys were making were just, you know, unreal, and makes it so much fun to watch.
We have no idea what's going on in Ukraine and Mongolia and places like
that,
even Japan. I mean, we get pigeonholed into American wrestling, but some terrific athletes in those countries as well.
You know, I know that, like, a lot of our athletes, when they go overseas, they really study these foreign athletes and how they wrestle, but also how they train. And, you know, Dan Gable is a perfect example. You know, when he first started wrestling at the international level and the freestyle level, when he would go over there to different countries for the World Cup back then, or for the World Championships, or just even go as a workout partner, like, I think 69 when he was a workout partner for Wayne Buzzard. He would, like, literally go into, like, not only just watch them compete, and this kind of sounds weird and eerie and, like, a little bit different, but this is what made Dan Gable, is that he would even follow him, he said, into their locker rooms after a match is over, like the foreign wrestlers, to see how they reacted after a win or after a loss. And that's somebody that really is a true competitor and has a lot of passion for the sport and wants to be the best of the best and beat the best of the best. And that's what's fun to watch. And like you said, you know, we're kind of pigeonholed watching our U.S. guys all the time, and we're very blessed because we got the best men's freestyle team in the world right now. We have for the last 3 years, and this is the time to watch it. And now that Russia's not involved, that obviously helps a lot, but still our team over the past 3 years has just been phenomenal. It's a really good place for men's freestyle wrestling right now. Women, we got a ways to go. We competed there, the women competed there, and they had a lot of following, a lot of backing. Their fans really got behind the women, especially even the women of Ukraine who won the World Cup, you know, knowing what those girls are going through in their country right now and kind of what they're competing for. It was really neat to see them get, after they won on Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon, get a standing ovation from all the American fans that were there and appreciative of them coming over and happy for them to win that with being, you know, in the circumstances that they are.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And now you shift from World Cup, and next big event will be the big event coming up on the 29th and the 30th. That will be down at Extreme Arena as well. The Soldier Salute, that's coming up.
Yeah, the Soldier Salute. I tell you what, Josh Schamberger and his crew down there at the Iowa City Area Sports Commission have been busy between that Donnybrook tournament, girls and boys, and then a youth tournament, and then putting on this World Cup. And then now already I was down at their office dropping some stuff off, I think, on Monday. So the event just happened, just finished on Thursday. They're meeting on Monday and already switching gears and getting ready for the Soldier Salute, which is the first year they've had this collegiate wrestling tournament in the Extreme Arena down there. The same dates as was what the historic, you know, Midlands, Ken Craft Midlands Championships that have been around for years and years and years out of Northwestern. It's the same dates and kind of taken in place, putting in place of that, and which is great because the Midlands isn't what it like used to be.
No.
It's an open, and even, you know, back in the day, you say, but there used to be a lot of guys that have graduated from college and would go compete there. You know, and I did myself. I competed there after I got done wrestling in college, just as an opportunity to get some matches in. And matter of fact, I wrestled Doug Schwab in the finals that year. He was wrestling for Iowa, and I had already graduated, and we met in the finals, and who is obviously was a national champ for Iowa that year, and now the head coach at UNI. And so it's not the same. You don't see that competition. And so what better way to trying to get competition and than to start your own tournament? And that's the perfect thing for this arena, like the Extreme Arena, that seats 4,500 people. Perfect venue. It's in the, you know, the capital wrestling town, U.S. wrestling town, USA. To put on our own tournament. And it's awesome for Iowa because our guys get to sleep in our own beds. It's good for Tom and his budget because he's not paying for the travel and hotels in Chicago area. It's just good for – and a lot of people want to come here and be able to compete against Iowa. And not only the men's wrestling team, but the Iowa women's wrestling team are going to be competing in this as well too, which is huge because it's going to give our fans who are starving to watch our women's wrestling team that's been talked about so much be able to compete in person. And this is going to be your first chance right here in your own backyard.
It's a dual meet tournament.
No, it's not. It's an open.
Okay.
So anybody can come and compete in this tournament.
Okay.
It's an open tournament to where you could even be in high school and compete in it, but anybody in college. So like some teams are bringing in their entire teams, and then some teams are just bringing select individuals. I know like Wisconsin's bringing some guys over. They're not bringing their entire team. UNI's bringing, I think, 19 of their guys, but probably not all their main guys, but 19 of their guys, which has to be a pretty good chunk of them, and some of the main starters. So people coming all the way from Wyoming, Kerry Colot. Everybody talks about the Mark Ironside versus Kerry Colot match. Kerry Colot, who's the head coach at Navy right now, he's bringing in his team. 9 guys from the Naval Academy coming in here and wrestling. I'll have a lot more of that to share on next week's show leading into that and who's all going to be here and so forth or whatever. But Extreme Arena, it's a Thursday and Friday. It's always on the same 2 days every single year, the 29th and 30th, and it's going to be so much fun to be able to watch the Iowa Hawkeyes men's team and the women's team compete in the same venue those 2 days.
It will be. Mark Ironside joining us here in studio on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class as we talk wrestling. Iowa was Saturday night, was down in Chattanooga. Got some new look guys in the lineup. They got their baptism by fire, if you will, and ended up, I think, 27-12. Like I said, got some new guys in there, which you thought was going to happen, and that's the way the brands went about business.
You know, I was like a little kid in a candy store on Saturday night because I was sitting in Extreme Arena watching the World Cup, watching the U.S. team. I can't remember which team that they were wrestling that night. Might have been Georgia, I think. And I had borrowed my daughter's, I don't know what you call them, ear pods, things.
Yep. Don't look at me.
You don't have cords. It's the first time I've ever done this, but I had her hook them up to my phone so I could pull up the radio and listen to Stephen Gray. So I'm sitting here by myself watching that wrestling and listen to Stephen do the broadcast for the Iowa Wrestling. So it was like the best thing ever for me, getting the best of both worlds there. And we won the dual meet handily.
Tom wasn't real happy.
We lost a lot. Tom actually did not go. Terry was not happy.
Terry.
Tom went to the UNI Open that day. Drake Ayala made his debut back at the UNI Open and won that. And there's another tournament, the UNI Open, that used to be such a phenomenal tournament. Like back in the day, again, when I was wrestling, those used to be like 32-man brackets.
Yeah.
And it was a big, big deal to win the UNI Open. And like Drake Ayala only had 3 guys in his bracket. How do you only have 3 guys? 3. It's just not what it used to be. And that's why Iowa, they're trying to do something big and start their own tournament. And it'll take a year or two, but they're going to get it done. And it's going to be an awesome tournament to come be at that Soldier's Loot that we were just talking about. But going back to the Chattanooga match, yeah, we didn't wrestle all of our starters. But at the same time, even the guys that weren't your normal everyday starters, they have to go out and they got to compete. They have to compete. So many, I think our first 2 matches were 1-1 going into overtime, you know, and then trying to think what other weight class. Oh, 49. It was another match, 1-1 going into overtime. So we had 3 matches that were 1-1 going into overtime. We never even scored a single takedown in. And you can't have it. I don't care if you're not a starter or not. And you know what? You can say, well, they weren't doing anything either, and they're just kind of stalling out, waiting for you to slip up. Who cares? We don't worry about what they're doing. You worry about what you're doing. And it was a good opportunity for some of these kids to come out and get their feet wet. And hopefully it was a big eye-opener that, you know what, if you want to, you know, always revert back to the old song by Alabama, if you're going to play in Texas, there better be fiddle in the band. But if you're going to play with the big boys, you got to come out and you got to compete. You have to compete and put points on the scoreboard and be offensive and be a buck kicker and be a crowd favorite. And those guys just didn't do that. And we've got to get our guys healthy and get our starters in the lineup and give these fans something to be super excited and cheer about.
Nelson Brands had, that was probably the premier match with Rocky Jordan, dropped it 3-1, but I look across the board and Kobe Seabrook continues to impress, and it looked like Real Woods was able to open up on his opponent.
Real Woods came out on fire, and he teched the guy in the first period. You know, Real Woods did what Real Woods should do. He should come out, get a couple of takedowns, turn the guy like a top, and then tech the guy. Patrick Kennedy's another one. Came out, had a really good first period, 4-1, dominating, and then just started opening up a whole can of, you know what, in the second period and poured it on and ended up getting a technical foul himself. Kobe Seabrook, he did okay. He got the job done, but, you know, he was up, I think, 3-2 or 4-2 or something. I can't remember. After the first period, it didn't score any points in the second period. In the third period, he ended up getting another takedown to kind of solidify the victory order. But that matches like that, even a guy like Kobe should be getting a major decision there. He's got to be thinking about dominating. He's got to be thinking about putting points on the scoreboard. What if that dual meet was like the Iowa State dual meet when he got a major decision, and that 1 point could be the big difference? Okay, I don't care if you're wrestling Chattanooga and it's not going to matter, or Iowa State is going to matter, or Penn State and it's going to matter. You have to step toe the line every single time, ready to go, and put up as many points on the scoreboard as you can. It doesn't matter the dual meet situation or your opponent's situation. You try to score as many possible points in that 7 minutes, or there's some if you need be, that you have to when you step foot on the wrestling mat. It's not about just going out and just getting a win, okay? You're not going to win national titles doing that. It's not going to happen. So if you want to win Big Ten titles, you want to win national titles, people want to make money in the NIL, they need to put points on the scoreboard and win a lot of wrestling matches and beat good people. And right now we're lacking that a little bit.
Yeah, and Cassiope, he went out though. He's getting things done.
Yeah, that guy came out fired up, ready to go.
1 minute? What was it, 1:15?
Yeah, but that guy came out immediately, like, he kind of caught Cassiope off guard a little bit, and Cassiope's like, all right, okay, that's how it's going to be, huh? So then he took him down, turned over, pinned him like no big deal. So, and it was a good way to end the dual meet. So we needed that. So now we're off. We're completely off. It's finals week down there. So the guys are still training in the room kind of during finals week, and then I'm sure they'll be released next week for Christmas, go home, get their own training in. They'll report back on the 26th and get ready to compete in the Soldier Salute on the 29th.
Spencer Lee make the trip to Chattanooga? Do you know?
He did not. I didn't ask or whatever, but I hear he was sick. And I know that's easy. Oh yeah, he was sick. But no, I think legitimately he was not feeling the greatest. And as well as Max Mirren, which is he wasn't there either. Yeah. So I don't know if there was a bug going around the room or what, but they did not go and stayed back and to get healthy and so forth or whatever. So
that's the big thing. Yeah. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we didn't need them, you know, to win that. But I know a lot of fans that went there were disappointed they didn't see Spencer Lee. They want to see Spencer Lee, you know. And so you try to wrestle as much as you can and when you can, especially for Spencer, who needs more matches. He needs more weigh-ins on a one-hour weigh-in and more matches and getting that conditioning and getting his body adjusted to 25. So you'll see it. It'll come.
7508 says many will learn freestyle rules through women's college wrestling.
Yes, very, very true, because that's what women's college wrestling is going to be. It's all freestyle, international rules. So, and they're always forever changing too. It's like, you know, those rules change all the time. You got to kind of stay up to speed on them. But they've been kind of solidified for a little while, but it's a little different. And they have three referees every single time. The head referee, and then you got two mat referees that are sitting in the chairs on opposite sides of the mat, and every call, two out of the three have to agree, you know, before they award any points. So, and if someone doesn't agree, they throw up a white paddle. So, and it's like, okay,
white paddles. All right, we got bricks and white paddles now.
Did your mom get a deer last week?
She passed on quite a few. She did not get one. So she'll be back at it this weekend for second season. We need some cold weather, Mark, and it's coming.
It's coming.
So she's like me, not quite as picky, but she's like me, and she's waiting for that good one. So it'll come. Just need some cold weather to bring him out in the daylight.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Sounds good. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and Chris Liss will join us to answer your fantasy football questions at 319-366-1600 back after this.
Start NFL Week 15 off right with NFL Same Game Parlay Insurance from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, you'll get free bets back if your 4-plus leg Thursday night football same game parlay falls one leg short. NFL Same Game Parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Christian McCaffrey as an anytime touchdown scorer, Geno Smith going over the passing yards total, and Deebo Samuel going over the rushing yards total is a same-game parlay that I like, but you can build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code COON if you don't already have an account. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21+ and present in Iowa. Refund issued is non-withdrawable. Free bets expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $25. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Save big on everyday products that you need right now at Menards. We've got it all, from big to small and everything in between. Attract a wide variety of birds to your yard with Enchanted Garden Bird Food. We carry a great selection of high-quality blends with sunflower, millet, and other grains to ensure only the best for your backyard friends. Save big money on Enchanted Garden Bird Seed, now at Menards.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
340, back with you. Bye, Mark. On the Gym Class on KGYM, as we take you through the Wednesday edition, we'll get a Bowling Night in America preview for you coming up here in just a couple moments, right after we get all your fantasy football questions answered with Chris Liss of Real Man Sports. Also works still in conjunction, of course, with his good friends at rotowire.com. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Again, 319-366-1600 is a lot of there are a few playoffs starting around fantasy football. I know ours is this week. We are the number 3 seed, Chris, by the way. Good afternoon.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh,
do we have Chris?
But you got to play in the first round, that means.
Chris, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, we
hello.
Don't have Chris. All right. Look at that. What a great intro I had for him, and then bang. And should we try it again? No, we are okay. Ben's gonna get him. All right, very good. 319-366-1600. I figured it out, Ben. There was a button that was not pushed in, so now we are ready to go. We are ready to go with Chris here. All right, let's try her again. Chris, playoffs starting this week. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. My biggest high stakes team already won its prize, because you win your prize just by getting in, and then you get into the big, you know, the big money, you know, like everybody, it's hard to win. There's like 500 teams, but if you win it, you win 250,000. But I won the league prize. But then my other teams, one of them's making the playoffs, the others are not. But third place, I heard when you couldn't, I could hear you before, third place, not bad, Scott.
Third place, not bad. Not bad, but we're down to, yeah. Although Jared Goff's been great for the team. We lost our two 49er quarterbacks. So we're down to Jared Goff throwing to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I mean, there's like five quarterbacks better than Jared Goff right now. You know, it's like Hurts, Josh Allen. You know, there's like a handful of guys, Mahomes. And after those guys, Jared Goff's fine, perfectly fine.
48-15 on the text line, Chris, is a two-part question. Has Chubb, McKinnon, Taylor, and Kamara, what three would you start? So we're going to throw out one of those.
Yeah, I think you've got to throw out McKinnon. I mean, I know it's a great matchup, but, I mean, Chubb, Kamara, and Jonathan Taylor, I just think you got to go with the guys who get the workload.
And throw out one of these three at wide receiver, Waddle, Ayuk, or Watson.
Waddle, Ayuk, or Watson. God, Waddle has not done much lately. I guess I will throw out Ayuk, but you know, no Debo against Seattle. Yeah, I guess I'll throw out Waddle, but man, Waddle, you know, was just, I'll throw out Waddle, I guess.
It's a tough
matchup, and he's not been used that much.
That's a situation of riches. Riches, yeah. Right there. 1288 and a half point PPR league. Amon-Ra or Garrett Wilson? Could play both, but then you would bench Tyreek Hill in the snow in Buffalo. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I got to go, and they're both good, and they've matched up against each other. I got to go Amon-Ra. I like Garrett Wilson, but I got to go Amon-Ra.
1207 is in a PPR league, Chris. Needs one out of these three. Pittman, Mike Williams, Christian Watson.
Man, I guess I go Mike Williams. I have Christian Watson on that team with the high stakes one, but Mike Williams had a huge game, and Titans are pretty soft against receivers.
How about 1017's question, a quarterback question here. Tua, Dak Prescott, or the suddenly hot Jacksonville Jaguar quarterback, Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm not doing Tua at Buffalo, but it would be either Dak or Lawrence, and they're facing off against each other. And I guess I'd go Dak. I've got Lawrence in that league, and I'm going to have to use him. And he is turning corner, it looks like, but Dallas' defense is so much better than Jaguars' defense, so give me Dak.
Are you worried about Tua's performance lately?
Yeah, it's not, you know, he's good, but the thing is, like, against tougher defenses, every quarterback struggles, and he just seems to take a lot of big hits, and he's kind of slight. You know, he's not built like Josh Allen or Justin Herbert or even Justin Fields. He's kind of slight, and he got concussed a couple of times, and he's just, every time he gets hit, I'm like, is he hurt? So I don't know if I think he's playing a little tight, a little, you know, they're being a little careful with him. So I'm a little concerned about him, especially in the winter. In bad weather games like this, so yeah, I'm not as I was totally out onto it, and I was wrong about that. And then I kind of came around, and now I'm changing my mind again.
Brock Purdy out of Iowa State seems to be in the perfect system in San Francisco. Are you all in on Brock Mania?
Not really. I mean, he's in a great system. We just lost Debo, which is not great, but you know, Shannon offense, so has plenty of weapons. They also like to run a lot, and so I'm not sure he's going to put up huge numbers. You know, Garoppolo was efficient, and they won, but he never put up big fantasy numbers. And Purdy's more mobile than Garoppolo. I don't know. I would use him in a pinch, but I'm not sold on him yet. No.
Let's go to 46-30. They're in a full PPR league. Can start two of these running backs. White, Taylor, Antonio Gibson, or Latavius Murray?
Well, definitely Taylor. And White is Rashad White of the Buccaneers?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta check what Fournette's status is. Because they're all pretty bad. And then, you know, then you got Latavius who plays. I guess Latavius starts. But you got to check on the injury reports and see who's playing, and because that's all going to come down to who's going to get the biggest snap share.
1250 has a defense question, Chris. Broncos against Arizona or Steelers against the Panthers?
Probably go Broncos. I actually have the Steelers in that league, and I thought they'd be good with T.J. Watt. So I played him against Tyler Huntley, and then Tyler Huntley got hurt, and they still did nothing. I don't know what's wrong with the Steelers. I thought the Steelers' defense would be better.
Yeah, of course, no Kyler Murray, and probably no Kyler Murray, at least for what you think, and I think probably the first half of 2023 as well.
Yeah, I heard people say that, but I think he'll probably be ready week one. I mean, look at Chris Godwin last year, right? Got towards ACL in December, came back week one. I know Murray's a mobile quarterback, which probably makes it harder because his game is predicated on Z, you know, being able to make cuts, but I don't know. Maybe he'll be on the PUP and come back, you know, in October or something, but I kind of think, like, that, you know, a lot of times these guys make it back, and he's young, he rehabs hard, I think he could do it.
79-93 is in a PPR league as well. He's got five running backs listed here, Chris, and he needs to pick three, or you do, among Brian Robertson, Latavius Murray, A.J. Dillon, Leonard Fournette, and Rashad White.
You got to look at that Bucks. I haven't looked at the injury report yet with Fournette, White. You got to look at that and the usage. I think Brian Robinson will get his work against the Giants. And then who's the other guy? The two Bucks guys, Brian Robinson and
Latavius Murray.
Those two guys.
Yep.
Yeah, Murray's kind of on a terrible offense, but it's a good matchup. But who's the last guy?
Dillon.
Oh, yeah, Dillon. Taking care of Aaron Jones. I guess I'll say Dillon and Robinson and then figure out which Bucks guy is going to get more work.
Chris List joining us here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. They sponsor all things fantasy sports here on KGYM. 0503 in a PPR league can start two. Waddle, Lockett, or Garrett Wilson?
Oh, man, I said sit Waddle last time. I kind of would sit him again. I mean, Waddle's good. It's just that Dolphins passing game, bad matchup. I would sit Waddle.
Bad weather. I mean, they're expecting snow. Not the 5 feet or whatever they were expecting the last time. It will not be moved. We have been told that. The game will not be moved.
Yeah, and I mean, snow in and of itself is not the problem. It's wind, right? Like, sometimes in those snow games, the DBs are kind of sliding around, and they can't stay with the receivers. But, Waddle's got a tough match. I'm just looking at the RotoWire rankings with Jeff Erickson. He has Waddle all the way down to 26, which is much lower than he usually is. So I guess he agrees with me.
T.Y. Hilton or Cole Beasley, who's going to produce?
Yeah, pass. Forget somebody to get find something else.
You are passing on that one. Oh, my goodness. Portugal loses, and now the Giants just can't get out of their own way the last couple of weeks, man.
Well, remember, they had a tie, Scott, so it's not oversell it. But, they got destroyed by the Eagles, and it was really they were never really in the game. Yeah, in Portugal, they got taken out, and I was disappointed. They had a chance. You know, once Brazil went down, I was like, oh, Portugal can win. And it would have been bananas here, but couldn't do it. And, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Well, luckily, I won that fantasy league at least.
My RB2, I will ask you, take a chance on Jeff Wilson playing this week or Michael Carter, who's not getting nearly as many carries for the New York Jets, 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 Jets.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you got Wilson with, bad matchup. And then Carter, okay matchup. I guess I go Wilson, I think. Double-check his status because he was banged up a bit, Jeff Wilson. Make sure that Wilson's, is healthy because I think it's a hip injury.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I tell you what, the Lions, Chris, last question for me. They've got about as many weapons as anybody. They get the kid from Alabama, plays his first game, and scores a touchdown. That's a lethal team, isn't it?
I mean, it starts with the offensive line. The offensive line is great, and they grind out like these 8-9 minute drives. And I bet against them a couple times, or not just bet against them, but I have all these Jaguar skill players. They're playing the Lions. I'm like, just please get off the field and get my guys the ball. And they wouldn't get off the field the whole second half, and it was extremely frustrating. By the time they got off the field, there was 2 minutes left in a blowout, and the Jacksonville put in their backups. So I agree, Mark. I think the Lions, I mean, it's going to be weird next year when the Jaguars and Lions are like powerhouses in the NFL.
Cats living with dogs. And the Jags and the Lions with a chance to. They both have a chance still to get in the playoffs. We'll see.
Yeah.
How it all plays out. Hey, tell us a little bit about Real Man Sports before you go here and everything else going on, Chris.
Yeah, realmansports.substack.com. I just basically write up the games, who's going to win against the spread. I write up the games afterward and what I think happened, what I think it means, some fantasy, some handicapping against the spread. Just my thoughts and observations. Again, realmansports.substack.com.
All right, man. Good luck this week, and hopefully we'll talking about us in the semis next week.
All right. Good luck, Scott. Take care.
All right. Chris List joining us here each Wednesday on the Gym Class. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. 3:53, quick break. We'll come back with a Bowling Night in America preview and a little bowling news for you as well coming up after this.
It pays to parlay football in December with Elite Sportsbook. On Thursdays through Sundays in December, bet one wager of four plus legs of $50 or more on football and receive $10 free bet. It's literally that simple. And don't forget, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Check out our updated app with integrated funding and increased functionality and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Ah, yes, it is a Wednesday. That means it is a bowling night in America. And this preview is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of bowling night in America. Hats off to their entire staff. They do a tremendous, tremendous job. And they make us feel at home every Wednesday night. We start the schedule back from the opening night, the rematch with Union Station tonight.
It's been a good first half for the Rusty Nails, currently in third place in the Adult Evergreen League. And tonight the foes are the guys from Union Station, who currently sit about in the middle of the pack. Always dangerous, Daryl and Mike and Bill and Atoll. Great group of guys to bowl against. Lanes 27 and 28 tonight at May City Bowl.
Good spot, right in the middle there of our league.
And we got a text from Ralph in Riverside. I can't locate it now, but he...
I got it. Say? I got it here. You want me to say it?
Please.
He says, what a week in the bowling community. Max Hyde, who's in our league, and Quincy Bruce, both with big weeks. And Ralph was bowling next to Quincy on Thursday. And he missed one time, he said. that's nice for three games.
I think I erred last week in saying Max Hyde had rolled the city record because I believe Quincy Bruce holds it upon further reflection. Something 880 something.
Yeah,
something
I hate
like
when
that.
you get that 866 and it really takes your handicap down.
Yeah.
I really, really hate when that happens. It's very, very bad for the psyche.
Yeah, four games for me at least.
It's more for me.
If you'd like to inquire about open bowling, maybe league play, anything in the pro shop, terrific pro shop out there at May City Bowl, give them a call, 362-0136. Plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
There you go. And in case you missed the earlier news, we started off the program with former Michigan tight end Eric Gall is now a Iowa Hawkeye, or at least will be an Iowa Hawkeye. Made that commitment today on Twitter. More on that with Todd and Alex coming up from 4 until 6 with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes up next right here on KGYM. Tomorrow we talk hoops. It's kind of a little bit of a, not going to say a dead week or anything like that, but it's finals week for a lot of schools out there. And so, good chance to reflect. We will do that coming up tomorrow with Coach Kevin Lehman coming up as we talk our off-the-glass segment on Thursday.
Couple games tonight. Maryland, I think, hosts UCLA.
Yeah, there are a couple good games.
That would be a good one, yeah.
There are a couple of good games out there. But for the most part, a lot of teams are on break this week. Getting those grades in order. You got to have the grades in order to continue to play basketball, Mark. Not only basketball, but wrestle, swim, whatever, as far as the winter sports. Gymnastics, don't want to forget. I'm going to forget one, and somebody's going to text, and I apologize for that ahead of time right there. So we'll talk to Kevin Lehman coming up tomorrow on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. We'll also wrap up Bowling Night in America tonight. Want to thank our guests, and for Mark and for Ben, Scott Unash, thanking you for listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fansville, where the refs are always wrong and Dr. Pepper is always right.
Always.
Where the mountains are capped with cooler ice